The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
And Curry Show. He's Kip Kiefer. I'm Tony Curry. Two guys talking about what's important to us in the world of sports. Kip, how you doing, brother? Everything good?
Tony, I'm great. I need to make note for everybody listening that we are recording this program on Tony Curry's birthday.
Hey, there you go. Yes, we are here on March 7th.
So if you have not appreciated March 7th previously, you need to develop a whole new attitude because this is a special day. It's the day that the world bestowed the great Tony Curry upon us.
You're a good man. And I'm glad you brought that up because at the age of 57, I never feel like I'm getting older. I always feel like I'm getting a little wiser. And I'll never apologize. For my age or the way that I feel. I know some people have called me Archie Bunker. I know some people say I have get off my lawn moments. But I still think our way is the better way, and I mean our way and the older folks. But I'm a realist. I'm a purist at heart, and I realize that if you don't adapt, you'll die. So I understand that, and I certainly understand that in the world of sports. You and I spoke briefly a couple days ago about the Aaron Rodgers situation. Aaron Rodgers is a strange, bizarre dude, certainly a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life. And what he's done to hold the Green Bay Packers organization, their fan base hostage, I think is an absolute joke. I cannot believe that they're sitting and waiting on this guy when obviously they have Bryce sitting in the background, who they obviously brought in to take over for him, and they just don't want to swallow that pill right now. And he's been there, 3 years already? And so I saw this darkness retreat that he was getting into. And here's a guy last year, about the same time, I think it was around March 7th or March 8th, when he finally said, yeah, I'm coming back to the Green Bay Packers, albeit $150 million deal. I forget, was a 2-year deal or maybe a 3-year deal. He's due $59 million this year if he takes a snap for the Green Bay Packers. All he's got to do is say, I'm ready to go. He obviously doesn't need the money and decides to go off on this Sky Cave retreat in Oregon where he wants to be, where all of us are looking to talk to somebody because we just came out of COVID. He wants to go sit in the dark for 4 days with no food or no TV or no cell phone to find himself to come to the realization of whether he wants to be a Green Bay Packer for the rest of his life. And then on the heels of that this week, I don't know if you saw this, but Eddie Kendricks, who spent his entire career with the Minnesota Vikings, he's 31 years of age. He's got plenty left in the tank. He's a linebacker. He is a captain. He is a multiple Pro Bowler. He's had over 100 tackles in 7 straight years. He's a Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. He's a leader of the Viking social justice effort. He was a leading tackle last year. Guess what they did to him yesterday? We need to save $9.5 million. Thanks for your services. You go.
Unbelievable.
Now. And I'm just thinking to myself, and so before I get your thoughts on this, and I know loyalty in sports is all but pretty much gone. Loyalty in employment is gone. Hell, you're talking to a guy that spent 30 years with the same company here in town in Cumulus, and I had a sheriff's deputy walk me to my car when they let me go. I mean, I get it. I understand it. I know we're in a litigious, we're full of liability. Everyone's got to do things right. And it pisses me off because the respect that's warranted for guys who give their blood, sweat, and tears, certainly in the world of sports, just is not warranted the way they're released and let go. Aldo Greco, a guy who kicked pretty much his entire life for the Houston Oilers and the Tennessee Titans, learned on the stream line at the bottom of ESPN that he had been released by the Tennessee Titans after he came off one of his most successful seasons with the team. Jeff Fisher, the time the coach, called him up and said, hey, I know you probably heard the news. It's all good. We had to release you and put you out on waivers to get under the cap, to get under the number. We're going to pick you right back up. So just stay steady. It's all good. Well, guess what happened? They never called him back. They never called him back. Day after day went by, and I'm like, Dude, and he is one of the most loyal guys you'll ever meet. When you are friends with Aldo Greco, you've got a friend for life. And I'm so happy I'm inside that circle. But I just want and I got a couple of examples, but I'd love to get your thoughts on where we are in loyalty in sports.
Well, I mean, you've touched on the fact that this is not limited to the organizations, but in the Aaron Rodgers case, who seems to me, Tony, to want to cast himself in constant drama. It's been that way since we first, I mean, we were aware from his college career at Cal, but as you remember, his career began with the ultimate drama because he was sitting in the green room 2 hours after the draft started.
Yes.
It was already down to the pick in the mid-20s, and this was a guy projected to be a top five pick. And you talk about drama, they kept going to him sitting by himself in the room because everybody else had already been selected.
Great point.
And this just went on forever. So it was kind of a preview of what we were going to see in his career. Now, let me understand this darkness retreat thing. After 4 days, do you come out, and if you see your shadow, you're going to resign? Or is that the way that works? Or I really can't grasp the concept. I don't understand exactly what the darkness retreat was supposed to do. Here's a guy with hundreds of millions of dollars. He could go anywhere in the world to a world-class resort. Can't you do some thinking, on the French Riviera or, you know, high in the Alps? Why do you go to Oregon and hang out in some dingy cabin or cave or whatever it was? The guy is just an enigma. He really is. Totally estranged from his family. By all reports, he hasn't spoken to his parents or either of his brothers in over 8 years. I mean, Tony, this guy is not wired like everybody else. And you hit it on it from the player standpoint, for loyalty. Here's a guy that was threatening to leave a couple of years ago, re-signed last year, every interview. This is the greatest place to play. These fans are just amazing. I just can't imagine having a better career and a better opportunity. I mean, was all that just completely disingenuous? Because now he turns around and he just has this terrible inner conflict. He can't decide which direction to go. And it's agonizing. And I tell you, I was interested to see what his decision was going to be. But the longer this wears on, you know, I'm finding myself not really caring. Make a decision, Aaron. I'll react to it at the time. But I'm not going to play the game of being on pins and needles wondering what Aaron Rodgers is going to do because, frankly, at this point, I don't really care.
No, I totally agree with you. And listen, you know, a lot of people would sit there and say, was he deserving of the money he got? I'd say absolutely. I understand that. But you also understand that if you're hitting the salary cap at $49 million, they're not going to be able to bring in the types of pieces you want around you, i.e. letting Devontae Adams go. And those were two of the most prolific connections we've ever had in NFL history. And so I get that. And I look at the Tom Brady situation. I know a lot of people said that he got paid like $1 million a year. Aaron's base salary was $1.5 million last year. So he's kind of doing the same thing, and they backload the money or they guarantee the money so it doesn't affect the salary cap. I don't know how salary caps work. I've looked into it briefly, but there's numbers that float. All even people that do salary cap projections can't figure out all this crap. So I get that. And I think great players, LeBron James is another one of those guys, they want to have great pieces around them because they know they can't do it alone. They're one piece. Yeah. Of this particular situation, but the fact that he is holding the Green Bay Packers organization, if you still have, and you've been up in the Green Bay area, if you're a Green Bay Packer fan right now, and you still own an Aaron Rodgers jersey, are you wearing it with pride? Do you really believe that, or is it just all about the wins? Listen, I was arguing with myself riding down Highway 280 this morning when we were going to do the show, and I was blowing it up, and I wish I had a recorder in the car because I was going off of myself, pretending you were listening to me in the front seat of the car, you were sitting shotgun. And, you know, I think about organizations like the Chicago Cubs, the Boston Red Sox, who didn't win World Series for millennia, it felt like. And you know what? Their fan bases stuck with them. They're still the dog pound at the Cleveland Brown Stadium. Old stadium, new stadium, whatever stadium it is, they stick with their organizations. And there's a sexiness there. There's a romanticism about how bad your teams have been over the years. And yes, I'm a Cincinnati Bengals fan. I feel your pain. When we finally got it to a Super Bowl the last couple of years and we come up short, just how majestic and how wonderful that will feel when it finally comes to that promised land. But I mean, that builds fan bases. And you know, fan bases are loyal. You know, if you've got season tickets to the, there's a 20-year waiting list to get Green Bay Packers season tickets. You're going to have your grandchild get in line now in hopes to get their tickets by the time they're 60. It's not going to happen. So, you know, the fact that fan bases are so loyal to their teams, and I understand it's a business. And again, I don't want to be that guy who's yelling, get off my lawn. I understand it. But I do think there is a happy medium. I think there's a way you can actually retain. And listen, if you got a guy saying, listen, it's my way or the highway, you're going to pay me or I'm gone. That's why we have franchise tags in the National Football League. It looks like Lamar Jackson's probably going to get that too. I get that. So that's why you have those things, because there's usually three or four guys, and if you have to let them go, but usually the fan base feels that and they're okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because sometimes, you know, it comes down to, in professional sports, it's hard to come to grips with this very simple statement, but at the end of the day, it's business. Yep. And that's a hard thing to kind of grasp. And we talk about professional decisions in any line of work or any business. A lot of things are bottom line oriented. But in this particular case, that's not what we're dealing with. This is a personal conflict, an internal debate that Aaron Rodgers seems to be having with himself, that he wants all of us to be drug into and part of. And frankly, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. The amount of money we're talking about is so ridiculous that nobody can identify with that and are going to be sympathetic to Aaron's indecision and hang on his every word and thought. I mean, this is a guy that's just really inflated himself to a status of self-proclaimed almost. I don't know what to call it, but, you know, he needs to have a residence on Mount Olympus. He might already have one. But that's kind of how I feel like Aaron Rodgers regards himself. And, you know, loyalty kind of goes out the window in these kind of situations where, you know, all the people that he was praising, the fans he's played in front of, like you said, every one of them owning Aaron Rodgers paraphernalia and jerseys. I mean, if it was me, I would have tremendous regard for those people that have supported me so vehemently my entire career and have been largely responsible for my popularity and success. Not to diminish what he does on the field, but that's certainly powerful motivation when you've got a fan base that devoted in the entire state of Wisconsin. People that have never been to Green Bay would be absolutely stunned, Tony. It's just a farming community. It's basically rolling hills and meadows and sporadic houses. It's not a metropolitan area. It's so bizarre to go to Green Bay and pinch yourself and say, they play a professional football. They have a professional football team here. It'd be like, you know, Clanton having that's the best example I can come up with, you know. The Clanton Packers, if you're familiar with Alabama. So anyway, I think he owes those people something. And for him not to be cognizant of that, it's not even the organization he owes a debt of gratitude to. It's the people that have supported him since he came in and became the Packers quarterback. And I think he's doing them a terrible disservice with this floundering around when, like you said, the decision, he says, well, there's finality in this decision. I don't know what that means, if he's actually contemplating retirement, which I don't believe for a second. So I don't know. I have conflicted feelings on this myself, but they're not for Aaron Rodgers. They're for people that have actually supported him.
Aaron Rodgers is a beauty queen that can't take a compliment. I mean, he knows that he is gorgeous. He knows he's good looking. He knows he's got all the attributes. He's got the body, and people keep telling him how wonderful he is, and it's just not enough to suffice whatever it is inside of him, and he just doesn't want to hear it. And I don't know if it's an insecurity situation. I don't know what he needs from the Green Bay Packers to know. He's yet to say that he wants to really go to a team that, I know he wants to win another championship. You're talking about a guy that's only won one championship, and obviously when you win two, it puts you in an elevated land. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, there's no doubt. But, you know, I think about other guys too, Kip, and this is the Kiefer and Curry Show here on Tony Curry Radio. You can also hear it on podcast and all major indices wherever you get your podcast. Look up Kiefer and Curry. I think about the Jerry Rices of the world. I think about the Albert Pujols of the year, the world. I think about the Steve Youngs. I think about guys who were in that time, 35, 36, 37. And the team sat down and said, listen, your numbers just aren't what they used to be. We're at the end of a contract here and we love you and we will retire your jersey. Maybe it's time to go play somewhere else. In some cases, Brett Favre, another one, they were successful at a point, and Tom Brady was certainly one of those guys. And then in most cases, they weren't. They had two or three more years of relative success and they wrote it off and they came back and they got the big hoo-ha the main stadium. And you know, we've seen that over and over and over again. And that's okay from a fan standpoint. It's like, okay, you've won out, you're welcome. Pete Rose was another guy. I mean, Pete Rose played his entire life with the Cincinnati Reds. And now he was the player manager. He wasn't very good at it. But baseball fans kind of felt like, you know, he needs to be buried out in center field when he dies. But they were okay when he left because they knew he was going to come back. He was going to the Phillies. He was going to the Expos. And he was certainly one of those guys that was not going to put the bat down. He was going to realize. And you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, and you brought up a great point. He's coming off his worst statistical year in 20 years. The guy's 40 years old, and he's getting $49.5 guaranteed million dollars, I think, plus another $5 million. I mean, it's like, what are we doing here? I mean, this sounds like a one-way marriage to me. You know, you're giving her everything she needs. Maybe you're the sugar daddy. Maybe you look like you're in a 50-yard dash in a 40-yard gym. You're not the best-looking guy out there, but you're doing everything to suffice her and keep her happy, and it's just not enough. And at some point, you're like, dude, where's your self-respect, Green Bay Packers? Where's your self-respect? No, we're not waiting any longer. We're done. We're finished. It's time to move. Give him a day. That's the other thing is, he's like, I'll let you know. If this is a 27-year-old who just won the MVP, okay, maybe. We're talking about a 40-year-old coming off one of his worst statistical years. And maybe another 2 years, maybe. But, I mean, it's going to have to be a perfect situation. Do they think that all of a sudden, 1 year later, he's going to be able to flip the switch and all of a sudden be flinging balls down football? I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I really don't.
Yeah, it's hard to fathom. You know, I've got so many thoughts after what you just said, but it's kind of the pattern now that a guy goes somewhere else and looks ridiculous in that other uniform because, I mean, Tony, I still have nightmares of seeing Joe Namath limping around in a Los Angeles Rams.
Yes,
uniform.
Yes.
I mean, and there's so many of those examples. At the end of his career, Willie Mays, after being a lifetime Giant, goes back and plays for the Mets. I mean, there's just so many guys that and some of them have been fitting. Hank Aaron, after breaking the record in Atlanta, went back and played in Milwaukee, where most of his career had been played before the franchise move. So some of those moves are you know, kind of symmetrical. But to come back and kind of celebrate the end of your career with the team you're identified with is kind of the formula these days. And it's too bad that you have to have this situation, but let's look at it from the Green Bay Packers perspective, because you opened that door and you're absolutely right. I mean, everything they want to do is just on hold now because this guy and his internal conflict is holding an entire franchise hostage. You know, for moving forward with plans, the draft is only less than a month away now. I mean, not that they're going to be looking at quarterbacks, but it's an interesting dynamic that Aaron Rodgers last year, even though things weren't going very well, was seemingly optimistic. He said, I'm having so much fun here developing these young guys. He didn't look like it when he was chewing their ass a lot of the time. Yep. But, you know, he did develop a couple of young receivers, and they've got a great running game with a 1-2 punch there. They've got pieces. It's not like the franchise is totally decimated. But he gave no indication last year that he was disgruntled, and he's not really using that language now. It's just this great decision of his, and I guess it's a three-pronged decision. Does he want to go play somewhere else? Does he want to come back and stay in the uniform that he's identified with? And he, you know, let's face it, he's the cornerstone of that franchise. Or does he just want to hang it up and go, you know, jet set around in Hollywood? He's dating a different actress seemingly every week. So, you know, I guess that's the tough decisions, but he's going to get paid and he's going to be able to live off everything that he's already made and accomplished. So I don't see what's so darn difficult here. Just make a call, Aaron, and go with it.
There's no doubt. The Kiefer and Curry Show, and I inadvertently said the word Bryce before this because I read an article this morning about the Green Bay Packers now, because of this indecision by Aaron Rodgers, are thinking about going after Bryce Young. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, don't you have Jordan Love sitting
here?
He's 24 years of age. Wasn't he supposed to be handed the keys to this car like 2 or 3 years ago? And that was really the kind of the beginning of the end, I guess, because at the time, you know, Aaron certainly had a lot left in the tank. He's sitting there 35, 36 years of age. And I know I certainly understand that if Kip Kiefer was doing a very, 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 very successful show and you were winning award after award, all of a sudden they're bringing in this intern that all of a sudden wants half the airtime, you go, wait a minute, this is my show. I get that. But now all of a sudden you're talking about switching off and bringing in another quarterback. I do think it brings indecision. I did want to bring a really good, and when I think about this, it just keeps, and I'm a Cincinnati guy, it keeps sticking in my brain. And I'm telling you right now, there was this guy named Barry Larkin who played for the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, yeah.
He is a Hall of Famer. One of the best shortstops, and David Concepcion was my guy, but Barry Larkin was one of the greatest shortstops we'll ever see in Cincinnati lore and Major League Baseball lore. And, you know, this keeping in mind that free agency didn't start till 1975 in Major League Baseball. But 1995 was the year. And Barry had only played in 131 games. He missed 31 games in the season. He had 15 bombs. He batted .319. His on-base percentage was sixth worst on his own baseball team at .394. His baseball team, the Cincinnati Reds, that year went 85-59. He wins the MVP of the National League. Dante Bichette, 40 bombs, batted .340, albeit in Colorado. Greg Maddux, 19-2 that season with a 1.63 ERA, did not win the MVP.
Man.
Mike Piazza, 35 bombs, batted .346 for the Dodgers. Not thin air in Colorado, .346. He didn't win the MVP. And here's this Barry Larkin kid who'd played for 10 years continually with the Cincinnati Reds and wins the MVP in 1995. And I can remember my dad was a newspaper distributor. I remember seeing the headline. I still got the old newspaper in a box somewhere. And I looked at my dad and I said, how in the hell did this happen? How does Barry Larkin win the MVP? He goes, I'll tell you what it is. It's loyalty. The voters love the fact that a player was willing to stay in a small mid-range market like the Cincinnati Reds because he was a Cincinnati Reds man. He loved the Cincinnati Reds. He loved the town of Cincinnati. His son or his brother Byron, I went to college with at Xavier. They were entrenched in the Cincinnati community, and the voters know that. You could sit there and throw stats around all the time, but voters look at backstories all the time. Ask Kenny Stabler, God rest his soul. The writers love these stories, and the fact that he played 10 straight years with Cincinnati Reds and ended up playing all the way to 2004, and rather than go on free agency where he could have probably made $4 or $5 million a year with someone else, he retired from the Cincinnati Reds organization. They didn't have a position for him, and so he went to the Washington Nationals and worked in the back offices there for several years and is retired from Major League Baseball. And he is so beloved in the town of Cincinnati because he stuck it out for nearly 20 years, and it got him an MVP. So, I mean, you got to think about things like this.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you started off the show with exactly the right sentiment. That kind of loyalty is all but gone now.
Yep.
It's all about the money. It's all about the exposure. It's all about all of the superfluous things. But loyalty to an organization and the organization's loyalty to the players is just a thing that's unfortunately one of the sad kind of declines in our whole structure. Because in business and sports, Your personal experience is a graphic example of, you know, you said it best before. You gave your heart and soul to that organization, and at the end, you're being escorted to your car. I mean, you just can't make that up, and you can't come to grips with it, because again, it's all about the factors that are realisms in our current world of liabilities and making sure that all these procedural things are done, and the personalities involved and the loyalty that should have been just a completely earned entity are just set aside. So I guess this is a deeper discussion, because it's just sort of a societal decline in these times that we have that are so absolutely rigidly controlled by the almighty dollar and by legal and compliance departments and all these organizational entities. And it's just a damn shame.
Well, and for a show for another time, for sure, the transfer portal has turned into that as well. I just don't feel like there's any loyalty in anything anymore. And I'm not just talking about jobs and talking about marriage. I'm talking about all relationships. And listen, loyalty is a two-way street, and I get that. It's got to work both ways. If you're giving your all to a company for 20 years and they're not giving you the things they say, and they're not giving you titles and the money that you deserve, I certainly understand you got to split. I'll say this in parting here. You know, I have an 18-year-old son. He's fixing to go off to college. And I've learned the hard way. And I've always told him, listen, when you get your first job and it's a good job and someone's finally given you the opportunity, maybe you've been turned down 5 or 6 different times. He's been turned down by several different institutions. He's been accepted into Auburn, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, other schools as well. I said, but you know, when you go to those organizations, or in this particular case, your first job or second job or third job, and all of a sudden you're really cooking and people are wanting to poach you, they're wanting to pull you aside, the last thing you can do from a loyalty standpoint, jobs used to be so important to us. If you had 2 or 3 jobs, you were a rare bird, man. You're like, how'd you get 3 jobs? Now you can have 6. You can have as many jobs as you want. It was hard. There weren't jobs out there to have. If you had 3 jobs, you must have been really getting after it. But I told him, I said, man, before you leave, before you split, make sure you give them the opportunity to make you an offer, because sometimes people will sit, they'll go, well, he seems to be happy. He's been doing the same thing for 20 years and he's never asked for anything else. And then when someone wants to double your money, go in and say, listen, I appreciate all the things, you know, take the high road. Appreciate all the opportunities you've been giving me here. It's been tough, but I mean, I'm getting offered twice the money. And what do you think about that? And if they let you go, that's loyalty working both ways as well. So there you go. All right, coming up next week, Kip Kiefer will have his subject, and I love this. We go back and forth every single week here. You can listen to the show at least 5 times a week on the TKR app. Thanks to tens of thousands of folks who download the TKR app. Tony Curry Radio on Android. That's Curry with a K, K-U-R-R-E. And, of course, so wherever you get your podcast, the Kiefer and Curry Show. Check it out. The numbers are great. We greatly appreciate people listening. I've had several outside sources say they love the show, and perhaps they want to do something with that. We'll talk about that a little bit later on as well. But, Kip, as always, have a fantastic week. I'm going to go celebrate my birthday.
Tony, I'm right down here recording from in the shadow of the French Quarter, so I'll find something to do.
I'll bet you will, my friend. Be careful, and don't call me for bail at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, on your birthday, I'll pick somebody else's.
Peace, my friend.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.